I really should be a better handyman than I am. My dad was a master electrician, but handyman is not genetic. I worked with him for a few years before going off to college, and I got pretty good at holding the flashlight for him, but not so good at swinging a hammer or hanging drywall. And over the last few months and even years, I've tried my hand at handiwork by renovating our family room and a bathroom and living room and dining room. And now, over this past week, during my little COVID quarantine, I've been working on the kitchen. But while I was working on the family room, I was working a few hours in the evening and I'd sneak in an hour or two in the mornings. But on a September Thursday night, I was on a roll. I was hanging shiplap faster than you can say Chip and Joanna. But Thursdays had taken on a whole new meaning for us. We had just recently launched Celebrate Recovery to minister to those with hurts, habits, and hang-ups. So Thursday was Celebrate Recovery night. And Andrea was about to head out the door, and I should have gone with her. But I was on a roll, so I chose to stay and hammer away. Halfway through the night, halfway through my project, Andrea texted me. 20 guys just came in the door. I didn't know what that meant. Is that good? Is that bad? Are they friends? Are they foes? I pictured 20 ninjas walking through the door ready to wreak havoc at Celebrate Recovery, and I wasn't there to try to help. What to do? Stay? Go? While you're pondering what you would do and what I did do, you're listening to LJ Harry, and you're listening to It's Just Us on Simplify. Now that you've had 12 seconds to ponder what you would do and what I did do, I packed up the tool pouch and I headed to the church. So up until this point, we had reached one or two each Thursday, but God had just delivered a dozen men to us to help in their recovery. I was elated, a little overwhelmed, and a whole lot of shame that I wasn't there already. From that day, God has richly blessed our church and our city through Celebrate Recovery. I'm amazed at how polite and respectful these guys were. They seemed glad to be there, even though the staff at the recovery house urged them to go. Now, they seem glad to be there every Thursday for Celebrate Recovery, and many of them every Sunday for church. It's one thing to hold a meeting on a weeknight in the chapel, but it's another thing altogether to worship together on a Sunday in the sanctuary. 2 months later, it was time for our annual Thanksgiving service around Thanksgiving time. That's when I really saw the love of God from the church family toward our Celebrate Recovery family. One of our faithful saints, who has been part of our church for decades, stood to testify. He worked on most of the remodels on our old building and helped build the new one. He poured his blood and sweat and probably shed a few tears, making our church campus a comfortable, warm place to worship. But as he testified to the goodness of God, he turned to his left toward the guys from the recovery house and said, "We built this church for you. You're the reason we're here. This is not just our church. It's yours. We're so glad you're here." I choked up. Through that night, I realized our church does not see them as them. It's not us versus them. It's just us. When our recovery guys and gals first started coming, some seemed a little scared by our worship. They weren't quite sure what to make of worshipers running laps around the church like it was the Daytona 500, or of people getting into the aisle to dance before the Lord. One of my guys really wasn't sure about people praying and praising God in other languages. He told somebody at the house where they were that we yodel at the church. I've been in the church for almost 15 years now. I assure you, we may do a lot of things, but we do not yodel. But he did hear us praying in tongues in the Spirit, and he wondered what that was. But now, they've been coming for about 2 years, and they realize Jesus really does love them, and we really do love them. Many of the guys and gals, when they come on Sundays, they raise their hands. They raise their hands during Celebrate Recovery on Thursdays. Some of them step out of the aisle and come to the altar during worship service and after preaching. Several of them have gotten jobs, and a few of them are being reunited with their families. Most importantly, though, several of them have already been baptized in Jesus' name, and a handful have received the gift of God's Holy Spirit. To God, He doesn't see it as us versus them. He sees it as us. This is His church, and they are part of it. Before Celebrate Recovery, I really didn't understand addiction. I always thought addiction was just something that somebody ran to for pleasure. But the more testimonies I hear, the more stories I hear, the more I realize many people who are addicted because they were running from pain. They weren't running toward pleasure. They weren't trying to get high. Some of them were just trying to get away. God has given me a compassion and a passion to reach those who are hurt, those who are addicted, and to let them know He is not only able to bear their sins, He's also able to bear their sorrows. He's not only able to save us, He's able to heal us. Take a look around your city. Those who walk the streets, those in the jails, those in recovery houses, sober living houses, halfway houses, those who are hurting, those who are homeless, and ask God to give you a compassion for them. Jesus died for them. He's calling us to minister to them. I may have never have traveled the streets of your city, but I can promise you the hurting and addicted, they're in our cities. They must be in our churches. And when they do come to the church or they come to you, get to know them. Stop long enough to learn their name, listen to their story, hear where they came from, help them to see where they're headed, and ask the Lord to give you a compassion to love people who are hurt, who are addicted, to love people Jesus died for. By the grace of God and through Celebrate Recovery, we are watching Jesus' grace showcased right before our eyes. In our city and in our church, there are guys and gals who used to be addicted to drugs and drinking, but they're not anymore. Jesus has set them free, and He is setting more free. And I believe He's just beginning. Would you pray with me right now? I want to pray for those who are hurting, and also I want to pray for those who are in the church who are called to minister to those who are hurting. Lord Jesus, I thank You for Your grace. Grace that saved us, grace that keeps us. I pray today, God, bless those who are hurting, those who are addicted, those who don't know there is a gospel, there is good news, there is a way out, there is a way for healing and salvation. Please minister to them. To those You want us to minister to, God, I pray You would lead us, direct us to them. And I pray, God, You would help us to minister to the hurting, the addicted in our world. Send them to the churches, to the church families, to the church buildings, and use Your church to minister and to bless and to share the gospel and to share ourselves with those who are hurting so You can heal them and those who are addicted so You can set them free. I pray You would do this again and again all over the world in the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you for tuning in to Simplify. Hope this episode's been a help and a blessing to you. If so, please let me know about it. If you have a Celebrate Recovery or some kind of ministry like that, intentionally reaching out to the hurting, the addicted, to those with habits, with hang-ups, I want to hear about it. I want to hear how it's going. Please look me up on Facebook. My screen name is lj.harry, or Twitter and Instagram. You can find me at lj.andrea, LJ and Andrea. I'd love to hear your testimony and also hear what God is doing. And if you are some of those who are addicted or hurting and you're looking for a place to find healing and you're afraid that you can't find it in the church because the church is a place for perfect people, please look me up. I know there's a United Pentecostal Church. There's an Apostolic Church not far from you. And I'd love to get you connected with them, to people who care and people who will love you and share Jesus and themselves with you. You can find me on Facebook, lj.harry, Twitter and Instagram, LJ and Andrea, LJAND, ANDREA. If you've been keeping up with our Texas versus Louisiana download contest, all of you from Texas will be pleased to know you hold a formidable 162 download lead over your neighbors, the Louisiana Cajuns. So, congratulations to the Texans. Pretty strong coming into this last week of October. But to my friends in Louisiana, you still have 1 week to come back and steal away a victory away from your friends in Texas and make a major comeback like the Dodgers did against my beloved Braves. Still a little sore about that one. And no matter where you listen, whether it's in these United States or around the world, I just want to thank you for being a part of the Simplify family and making Simplify a part of your walk with Jesus. Next week, I want to share with you a devotion because it's going to be just after Halloween, called Who's Afraid of the Big Bad Sheep? I look forward to sharing that with you next week, and always look forward to walking closer with Jesus as we walk through Simplify.